Welcome everyone to the Motive Podcast. This is episode number 50, which is crazy to me. So if you haven't listened before on the Motive Podcast, we are here and I am here to help you solve life's hardest problems and to just know yourself better. And today we're talking about a topic that I love sharing with people because I feel that many people understand it in their life, but yet they don't know how to put words to it. So today the question that I want to talk about is, what is the difference between psychological and biological addiction? So frequently in the therapeutic world, obviously one of the number one things that brings people to therapy is addiction. Or I would say like really bad habits, if you will. Things that people just stay stuck in. And so for a minute, I want you to imagine, you know, all of us share one, we share many things, but one of the things we all share in common is the keyboard. Okay. Now I didn't look it up. I didn't look up when the keyboard was created or who wrote the dang order of those letters. All I know is I remember that when I was in elementary school, I had to sit at that little Macintosh computer and act like I was typing when in all reality I was playing Oregon Trail. And, but I remember having to learn, you know, where my index fingers went, and there was that home row that I had to learn, and it was just confusing to me because we know the alphabet has its own order, and the keyboard resembles none of that, and so we had to learn that. And everyone, I'm really grateful that my teachers were really strict, and we had to put paper over our fingers, so I had to memorize it, and that's helped me obviously a lot in my life. And so, but imagine for a second though that tomorrow, let's just say President Biden comes out and says, just so you know, starting tomorrow, we are going to change, all technology companies are going to change the keyboard. We're going to change the order of the letters. And you're no longer allowed to use your devices. You need to, everyone has to upgrade and have these new keyboards. Now it sounds so stupid. Like who would do that? But the fact is, right, is if that would happen, it would put us all into a bit of a tailspin. Like if we had to relearn, the keyboard, it would be extremely difficult. Our brain has learned a pattern of how to type the word the, and we don't even have to think about it. It just flies through it. We don't have to look at the keys, at least most of us. And we type it, and it's just this automatic response in many ways. Well, addiction is very similar, and so we're going to use this to kind of tie this in. So the question that I asked in the beginning is, what is the difference between psychological and biological addiction? Well, let's start with biological. So biological is when you're using a substance or using anything. Whatever it is you're using, it has the ability to biologically bind to your cells, to you, right? And so nicotine, for example, is extremely biologically addicting. And so because of that, it's very simple, very easy for people to become dependent on it. In other words, when in the absence of that thing, in the absence of nicotine, for example, there is a withdrawal symptom. Okay, there's this feeling of longing for it. And it's not even just an emotion, right? It's a craving. It's a physical craving. And then there's an agitation. So just like the keyboard, you know, the biological state is, it's already for us, we've learned that our fingertips feel the F and the J, and that has a little bumps on them. And that helps us. We've identified that physically, like there's a physical sensation there that we know that is it. And our muscles and our fingers have also been trained. Like there's just this physical component that's trained ourselves to go to where the T is and where the F is. And if we had to change that, all of a sudden it'd be extremely difficult just from the physical side. Right. And so, most substances have a biological component to them. One of the arguments with marijuana, if you will, is that it isn't addicting. And the fact is it doesn't have a ton of biological parts to it that would say that it could become an addiction physically. But that's a good lead in to what psychological addiction is. So psychological addiction differs because psychological addiction is what most anyone with an addiction if they have a biological addiction, they very likely also have a psychological addiction. But you can have a psychological addiction without a biological addiction. So psychological addiction is when whatever it is that you've grown used to using, it is coupled with emotion. It's coupled with relief. There's something mentally, emotionally about it that thing relieves. It creates relief. And just like the keyboard, it is learned, right? We all have learned how to type. We've learned this pattern. And so let's just use pornography, for example. Does pornography have a biological addiction to it? In many ways, you could say yes. Is it the pornography itself? Not necessarily. The pornography, it triggers in the brain. It triggers dopamine, serotonin, the hormones that create pleasure. And those are extremely binding. It creates adrenaline as well. So when people are looking for it, I often call that the hunt. So when people are hunting for it, there's often a feeling of adrenaline and they're seeking for it. And then there's the finding it, and it creates dopamine and pleasure. And then often with masturbation that's coupled with it, it then creates even more. And that itself, those hormones absolutely are biologically composed to be, we want them. We'll want more of them and more of them. We even feel, we get a dopamine hit when we eat ice cream. We get a dopamine hit with anything that's pleasurable. And that's why food and almost anything in many ways that feeds our physical body can become addicting in and of itself. And so, but the classic case though, for so many people who struggle with pornography, is it's a psychological thing. It may have started out as a curiosity. For many people, it starts out as 10 years old and younger, sadly. And it's more of a curiosity that feels good, and it starts to create those physical feelings. But later on, said person becomes, maybe they become extremely angry with somebody else, and like their mom is yelling at them and their dad's yelling at them, and they go to their room and what do? They turn to pornography, and it soothes that. It relieves that. And that's a process of learning. That's not a disease. That's not a, you know, it's not something they're born with. That's something that the body learns, just like learning how to type. And so it's learning this new pattern of, just like all of us learn the pattern of this, you know, type a word, space bar, type a word, space bar, type a word, space bar, hit the period. The same thing happens. Feel anger, go to the room, look at porn, feel relief. Feel bored, go to my room, look at porn, feel relief. I feel frustrated. I mean, you name it, name almost any emotion, it can be tied to it. And so, therefore, as one does that over a long period of time, this craving, this psychological dependence starts to occur. And so for many people, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get over their addiction, if you will, but they struggle because what feels like it's just like this biological thing. Like, how do I go without it? That's what happens a lot, right? Is how do I go without? And although that's great, if all we did was take off like the, you know, the A, if we just took a few letters out of the keyboard, it would still leave us in a vacancy, right? It would still leave us kind of like, well, now how are we supposed to get the A? And so what has to happen is those letters, if you will, those patterns have to be replaced by something. Anyone can stop an addiction for a while, but can they actually replace it? That's the question. And so the reason that this is so important for you to understand the difference between biological and psychological is so many people continue to relapse and struggle because they have no idea that they are psychologically dependent on this thing. And that, you know, food is a big one too, right? That they're psychologically dependent on the food. And so because they're not getting in touch with how to deal with their emotions, which is what my course is built to do, you continue to struggle and wonder why you keep doing this behavior, when in all reality, it's a lack of emotional tolerance. It's a lack of understanding about your emotions. It's a lack of self-discipline about your emotion, not necessarily that behavior. Is that behavior very demanding? Yeah, that's why it's considered an addiction or a habit. And And so, again, being able to tell the difference is huge. Would I say that you can immediately just, now that you've listened to this podcast, you're just going to automatically start to change? You know, maybe not. But my challenge to you is to, first off, start thinking for yourself, right? Start thinking about something that you, start thinking about something you struggle with, you know, and I don't even care if it's an addiction or if there's someone that you know that's struggling, I guess you could think about them too. And what I want you to do is think about the last time you did this thing, you know, whether it's you maybe overate or you looked at pornography or you did drugs, you got high, you did whatever. Okay. Now I want you to think about what happened before you did that. What was happening leading up to it? And I mean, maybe minutes before, sometimes hours before, maybe even like a day before. Can you recognize in you emotions that were taking place? Emotions that were there that you were maybe running from? Emotions that you don't want to acknowledge, that you don't know what to do with, that really have plagued you maybe your whole life. And if you don't know what to do with them, I'm telling you, go get my course and it'll teach you online. You can learn it super, super quickly. But as you start to recognize what those emotions are, now the question is, what do I do from there? Right? And that's where this replacement comes in. Right? So now what has to happen is, if I'm feeling bored, and you find the craving for whatever it is that you use when you're bored, you got to start thinking about what is that actual craving, right? What's the craving? And for a lot of people, they're not craving what they think they're craving. So for example, again, I work a lot with people with pornography, and so it's frequent. They're feeling bored, and then they relapse. And I asked, so what were you craving, right? Before you relapsed, what were you actually craving? And it's really interesting how many people will say, well, I must have just, you know, had like sexual urges. And I'll say, hold on, slow down. Are you sure? Are you sure? Maybe it wasn't. And I'll look at them and say, have you ever looked at pornography when you weren't necessarily sexually aroused? And they're like, yeah, of course. I'm like, yeah. So what were you craving before that? Because the arousal happens during and after, but like, what about before? And if they slow down long enough, they finally realize, and they'll share an answer with me, such as, yeah, I guess I was just like craving fun. I was craving something that was like exciting, or I was craving like connection. Like I was kind of lonely almost, like bored and lonely, and I was craving just like conversation. And that awareness right there it's powerful. When they start to realize that, and I hope that you are beginning to realize maybe that you are craving something other than the actual behavior that is fulfilling what you think you're craving. Right? Food, if you're craving connection, food doesn't connect to you. If you're craving excitement, weed, probably not going to be that exciting. It might be exciting for a moment, but in the end, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can fill in anything. Sleep. I mean, you could even use sleep, right? But are you aware? That's the big question. Are you aware of what you actually crave once you're feeling certain emotions, or in a lot of people's words, like once you maybe even feel triggered for that thing that you struggle with? And it's neat when you'll slow it down. I hope even right now, as you're listening to this, you can start to think, and if you need to get out a piece of paper, do it and start writing it down. Like, okay, you know, like when I'm frequently feeling boredom, what is it that I turn to, but what am I actually craving in between? And then start to use your imagination. And this is where you have to reprogram the keyboard for the first time, or for the, I would say, more permanent time, which is now I need to allow myself to use that craving to trigger this new behavior. And this is the part of addiction I believe in so completely, that addiction is learned and can therefore be unlearned. It was created by learning and experiencing the relief that it created, and therefore it can be unlearned by the brain recognizing that something else gives it the same thing. Do that now, give that time and repetition, just like the keyboard, and you're going to start seeing your brain turn towards that new thing. And so this is what's so beautiful, is Jesus Christ, right? He is the ultimate replacement. And if you're not a spiritual person, I'm not trying to offend you. I just know for myself that when it comes to almost like this one solution that can really replace so much, it's him. And many people are trying to fix their stuff first and then turn to him. Many people are trying to, you know, fix these addictions, fix these problems first, and then God is like their reward, or Christ is a reward. And I'm here to tell you, he isn't. He's there. He's everything. He doesn't need you to be fixed first for you to feel his love, to feel that connection, to feel that rush of learning something new from that's true. Right? Am I saying that I am so dang disciplined that every single time I feel bored or feel like I want to eat 12 donuts that I turn to Jesus? No. Heck no. I wish I did. And you know, it's just where we're at. But I'm just trying to at least spark something that says, hey, like most people, it's just like, no, I got to fix myself alone first, and then I'll turn to them. So don't do that if you are. I want to read you a quote real quick from Edgar Allan Poe. And he said, "I have absolutely no pleasure in the stimulants in which I sometimes so madly indulge. It has not been the pursuit of pleasure that I have periled life and reputation and reason. It has been the desperate attempt to escape from torturing memories, from a sense of unsupportable loneliness and a dread of some strange impending doom." I'm going to read it one more time just because this is an audio and I know you don't get to reference it physically. "I have absolutely no pleasure in the stimulants in which I sometimes so madly indulge. It has not been in the pursuit of pleasure that I have periled life and reputation and reason. It has been the desperate attempt to escape from torturing memories, from a sense of unsupportable loneliness and a dread of some strange impending doom." So as you can see, he's even saying, I'm not using and ruining my life because I want to. I've learned this. That's what he's saying. It's been this desperate attempt at escape. And these things that I use have been to escape. And every single one of you that are listening right now, you are trying to escape something in your life. I guarantee it, because you're not perfect, because you're human. It's not our natural inclination to run towards pain. And so we want to escape pain. And it just so happens that whatever it is we use to escape pain can become a habit, and that habit can become an addiction, and that addiction can really begin to limit our ability to choose. So the key indicator, right, is what am I running from? And what am I seeking? And can I replace it with something that will actually do the job? If I'm really running from pain, but I really want love, how do I get it? Because cocaine won't give you love. Pornography won't give you love. Food won't give you love. If you're bored, that's where it's a tough one. Will cocaine take care of boredom? I guess it could, but then it takes it away, or then it brings it right back. Can pornography take away boredom? Sure. But what were you actually seeking? Because if it was excitement, well, you got it for a few minutes, and then what happened? So what kind of excitement could you have that's healthy, that's functional, that doesn't have so many negative consequences? And if you'll use your mind, if you'll use some creativity, and if you'll use others, if you'll get honest about it with other people, it's very likely there are things that you would love to do, things that could become incredible hobbies, things that could become incredible passions of yours, and great things that would replace the cravings that you have. and therefore turning a weakness into a strength. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you on the next podcast. And like we always say, leave me a review if you can, and share it with your friends, and go get the course on motiveacademy.com. That's motivacademy.com. Go get our self-worth and emotion course. We'll see you on the next one.